Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now with our need to know. It's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing, integrity matters. Joe Spiker and his team, absolutely the best, I know. They repaired my roof. We were prepared to have Easton Roofing fix the roof. In fact, replace the roof at my mom's house. Turns out she only needed a repair as well. The guys from Easton Roofing got up on the roof. They climbed the ladder. Tubby here wasn't going up there. They climbed the ladder, took a look, brought down the photos, said, here's the problem. You actually don't need a new roof. It's right here. The problem's around the chimney. We needed some chimney repairs there as well. They even set us up with someone who could do the repairs of the chimney. Thank you for that tip. That's the kind of business that Easton Roofing does. They are the best in the business, serving the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. Voted neighborhood favorite on the Nextdoor app, securing plenty of materials to be able to keep the prices down, at least for now, when it comes to a time when everybody else is searching for materials. Call Easton Roofing right now. I would encourage you, if you think you got some repairs, something you've been putting off, do it now. Call 913-257-5426. Find them online at eastonroofing.com. Let's start things off with a little NBA talk. Tonight, we've got the Heat and Celtics going at it. Game four. Celtics 7-point favorites in this game, even though the Heat have taken two of the first three. Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Heat, said Bam Adebayo's big night in game three when he had 31, 10, and 6 assists. It's just what the Heat needed.
He's a competitor, and he has a sense and feel for what our team needs, and we needed his scoring, we needed his playmaking, we needed him all over the place. Look, he's such a pivotal part of our offense, and I had to do a better job of just making sure that he's involved, but he was extremely assertive. I would say 90% of it was Bam, just really being assertive in all the right spots.
Overcoming 40 from Jamal Brown of the Boston Celtics. The Heat still get the win. Jalen Brown. Cal, a Konzo Martin recruit, by the way, at Cal. That's my way of showing you I really do know who he is. Bam Adebayo,
though.
He had
a good day on the floor.
Yeah. Bam Adebayo is really, really good. And he went late first, right? He didn't slide into the second round, but didn't have the kind of year at Kentucky he was supposed to have. But he has blown up and is one of the more underrated players in the NBA. He's a fantastic player.
14th.
He really went that high? I thought it was even later than that. But he was supposed to be, a top five player, and he didn't have that kind of year at Kentucky. But does anybody do better than the Heat and the Celtics? And really, even the Warriors, like making the move for Andrew Wiggins, that was like considered a footnote. Now he's playing well. Like, smart. And the Mavericks have done. Rudy Nate. Well, do you watch the league?
Yeah, I watch a decent amount of it.
Is the new kid? Does he watch the NBA? Good.
Not an NBA guy.
Name a Maverick not named Doncic.
Can't tell you.
There you go. See?
Exactly. Roy Tarpley.
That's right.
There's European Tyler Self. Davis Bertans looks very much like European Tyler Self.
Yes, he does. My point is, these are actually pretty smart organizations that are there. And I think the Heat, Pat Riley hadn't lost it.
No. Nope.
Eric Spoelstra is really good as a coach. It looked like he was just going to be the bag man for or valet. Mm-hmm. I guess it would be better with bag man. Makes it sound like they're paying off LeBron. Right. The valet. For when they put together that run, but now barreling towards or what could be his second NBA Finals in 3 years post the big three down there is very impressive. But Bam Adebayo was a smart move. Getting Jimmy Butler, who's been kind of like a malcontent everywhere else, good player, but always wears out his welcome, but seems to have found a way. They found a way to get him to stick there. Tyler Hero is sixth man of the year. They don't have 1-1s all over the place, and yet they're a team that could be playing for the NBA championship this year. Just I'm really impressed with the Heat. Celtics, on the other hand, like I said, are still a 7-point favorite. Hero not going to play, by the way, in tonight's game. He has been ruled out, right? That's that little note
yes.
That we had. No Tyler Hero for the Heat. that speaks a little bit to why it's a 7-point line. Celtics forward Al Horford said his team, though, has a very basic approach to tonight's game.
You know, handle our business. We obviously lost a tough one, and we're at home, and we have an opportunity to even the series, and that's our mindset, handle our business.
Jason Tatum went, 4 or 5? He was in the – he went behind –
He was three behind
the terrible the point guard from Washington. Yeah, Markel Fultz.
And was it? There was a was it Bagley? No,
Bagley. Bagley's the one who went in front of Doncic.
Okay, 2007.
But he did not. He didn't go one.
Lonzo Ball went two.
Lonzo Ball,
Fultz, Ball, Tatum.
So the Celtics do have a number three overall pick, but even I give a lot of credit. Ainge and Al Stevens putting this group together. Al Horford looked like he was done 3 years ago. He's played some great basketball for them in this. Marcus Smart, I mean, they a guy who can't shoot, who they get great production from. When he does shoot, he has an incredible night, but plays defense, and moves the ball.
They appear to have a very, very good coach for a long time.
Well, and Pritchard, you know, from Oregon, that kid gives him good minutes.
Pritchard.
And plus, I don't know, Nesmith is what it looks like, but Nesmith is how they pronounce it. The other night, that kid's running around blocking shots, throwing down dunks. It's been a fun series. Back at it tonight, game four of this series coming your way. Of course, you'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Your home of the NBA Finals. And of course, as Todd says, everything that's blank and great. That's what you get here at 8:10. One other nugget from the NBA has to deal with Nuggets president Tim Connelly. He's agreed to a 5-year deal with the Minnesota Timberwolves that's worth over $40 million. $8 million per?
It's good. Hefty.
If you're Brett Veach, aren't you like, what?
And he gets ownership equity in the team.
Yeah. Includes ownership equity, making Connelly one of the league's highest compensated executives. This according to ESPN. Connelly, the second consecutive top basketball exec to leave the Nuggets for a more lucrative offer elsewhere. He replaces Masai Ujiri.
Ujiri.
In 2013, who left Denver for Toronto and did good things there. I mean,
what do we think?
As the resident Nuggets fan, you and Shane.
I mean, I get it. Like, you get offered equity in a team and you get the bag, like, you should leave.
Well, should the Nuggets have kept him?
Yes, 100%. Now, you could point to the fact that when they lost Masai, like, Tim Connelly was the next in line. So, like, they've done a pretty good job of kind of building an infrastructure with other guys who are ready to step up. Calvin Booth is going to be the guy, is the next guy to step up. And it's considered one of the, promising young execs in the NBA. So, in theory, there's a guy. And it's also, you got a pretty good team in place. But Tim Connelly's a sure thing. Calvin Booth's not. So, like, it definitely sucks. If I was them, I would have been like, hey, what do we need to do? Cool. Here you go. But they didn't.
Here begins.
Those Kroenkes.
The deterioration of the Nuggets.
It's always a Kroenke.
The Kroenkes can't get a Final Four for Mizzou.
Kroenke.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Like, they're, why aren't Mizzou's billionaire? Hang on, I don't want to upset. Who's our guy? Jordan Ripley.
Oh, yeah.
Keep him happy. With my hot Mizzou take. But could the Kroenkes?
5 o'clock hour sucked. So unfair to Missouri.
I'm not sure why suddenly the Missouri fan has a
Jersey accent or whatever.
Well, I mean, thought it sounded funnier.
60-year-old guy from Jersey who's pissed about my handling in Missouri.
From New England.
Yeah.
The 5 o'clock hour sucked.
That's more. Is that Boston?
Yeah, most of more New England.
But could like the Kroenkes like splash some cash around and get Mizzou a title? Have they won anything anywhere?
No.
Did they get a title with the Avalanche? Don't they own the Avalanche too?
Yeah.
Yes. But I don't think they bought him until they started sucking, right? Are they like the worst owners ever?
I mean, the Rams.
They don't own the Rams.
Don't they own?
Do they own the Rams? Kroenke
doesn't
own
the Rams. Own
the
Rams yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's got the Rams, Arsenal, Nugget.
They ruined Arsenal.
His son is technically the owner of the Nuggets, but it's Stan's money, obviously.
Stan Kroenke's Wikipedia page under occupation, which is always kind of fun. chairman and CEO of Kroenke Sports Entertainment, founder of Kroenke Group. Then you get owner Arsenal, owner Arsenal Women's, CEO and owner of the Rams, owner of the Nuggets, owner of the Avalanche, owner of the Colorado Rapids, owner of the Mammoth, LA Gladiators.
By the way, shrug of shoulders came after the Mammoth.
Mammoth is their
lacrosse?
Indoor lacrosse team, yeah.
There you go. Important.
I know this because I've watched enough Avalanche.
Well, what other teams does he own that was said after the lacrosse that it must be lower?
Los Angeles Gladiators. Los Angeles Gorillas. Gladiators are an American professional Overwatch esports team. Okay. Los Angeles Gorillas, who are an American professional Call of Duty League esports team.
Okay, sure, of course.
And the owner of Screaming Eagle, a California wine estate producing limited amounts of varietal wine.
Does it say...
And owner of Wagoner Ranch.
Wagoner Ranch.
Which raises... used primarily to raise crops, beef, cattle, and horses, as well as for oil production.
Okay.
He owns a thing or two.
Does it say spender of Walton money anywhere? Because that's really the juice.
The only place where Walton's name is spouse, Ann Walton Kroenke. That's the only mention.
Let me tell you, that middle name, box. Key.
Yeah, that middle name is doing a lot of work.
Key.
In that name.
The ownering of a lot of those places.
I'm sorry, Ann.
Walton.
Ann who Kroenke again?
Walton, doing a lot of the lifting.
Very much so.
On that. I will give him credit. He's realized, you know... We've long heard you can't lose money owning professional teams. He's decided to own one in every league. We do have to give him his due on that.
Field.
Yeah. We do have to give him his due.
He owns two esports franchises. That man likes to buy stuff.
Like basically, that's just the guy who, you basically are buying a kid who plays video games. Because you can't be like, oh, no, the net worth is in the franchise. No. If you're 19-year-old sucks, then your franchise sucks, right?
Yes. I would think.
Is Call of Duty a thing? You play video games, don't you? No, you don't?
I gave up. I developed a little bit of an addiction. Sorry.
Really? To video games?
Yeah, when I first started my job, I was just working one job. Now I'm doing many things.
Yeah.
I'm a man of many.
Our buddy Adam Hill, by the way, from the Las Vegas Review Journal.
I'm like
here.
Kroenke, but not owner, just doing a lot of things. but when I first started my job, like right out of college, I was working like 4 p.m. to 12 at the newspaper on the desk. And then I'd come home, and like me and my roommates would just start, you know, partying and playing video games. And some days it'd be like 3 o'clock the next afternoon. And I'd be like, yeah, I got to go back to work.
And you had not gone to bed?
No. And so I was like, yeah, I gotta change this a little bit.
So what was your game of choice?
Oh, it was GTA 3 at the time. Grand Theft Auto was just it was crazy.
Okay,
it's very addictive.
Okay,
it's great.
What do the kids play now? What do you play? You play video games?
I don't play video games.
You make Sam McDowell look explosive. Do you know that?
I'll play FIFA.
You've got this explosion of hair, which I think is fantastic. And you're like, this is a wild man. Good Lord, what do we bring in here? And then you like speak, and it's like, is he alive? Do we have to put a mirror under your nose?
He has a very dry sense of humor, as I learned earlier.
Oh, yeah.
He hit me with a little dry comeback, and I was like,
okay,
nicely done.
Well, does the guy who doesn't know squat about the NBA, does he play video games? We've got another new intern. What's
Fortnite.
Fortnite. Fortnite.
The popular one.
I think it might be his nickname.
Probably not. That's
too cool.
Too cool.
Yeah. Right.
This nerd. Guy's name's MILF. We're going to give him Fortnite?
Nerd.
We're not giving him Fortnite. That's not happening. Some NFL news. Nick Foles has agreed to a 2-year contract with the Colts. This reunites him with Frank Reich, who was his offensive coordinator with the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl. I am very happy that this deal happened. You want to know why?
Yes.
Because this is like the 8th day this has been one of the notes on the NFL. Like, it has been an NFL, we've hit the slow times because Nick Foles has been nearing a deal with the Colts for like 8 straight days.
Yes.
Now I can put this SOB to rest.
Tomorrow.
Okay, good.
Tomorrow,
done.
I will put on there he still has a 2-year contract.
Yeah. Well, please
do. Just keep doing that every day until the contract expires.
According to a source, the Washington Commanders paid more than $100 million for approximately 200 acres of land in Virginia. This is possibly the next step to building a new stadium. Also, you know, shops, restaurants. The deal was completed late last week, but has not yet been filed with the Prince William County. That's the site of the land. One source called it the team's preferred site for a new stadium, but other options remain open. Can somebody explain to me how Dan Snyder is buying $100 million of land for a football team that
Foggy Bottom?
He should certainly be stripped of at any point.
Yeah, I don't know.
There is, can I point out, there is a bit of a pinch. That's probably not the word. There is a bit of a, I was going to say a rub. That's not the right one either. There is a problem here because the man has been accused of numerous sexual harassments on his watch as the owner. They're okay with that.
Apparently.
They fudged the receipts and kept a few bucks from the owners. Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Get his ass out of there.
That's the NFL is
treat women like trash. Okay, take a few bucks from our billionaire asses. You are gone.
The NFL has long talked about their desire to be transparent. That's pretty damn transparent.
Yeah,
unintentionally transparent. Yes.
Dwayne Haskins, it has been released, was legally drunk when he was struck by a dump truck on the I-595 highway in Florida and killed on April 9th, according to toxicology reports released by the Office of Broward County Medical Examiner. Two separate samples taken from Haskins' body had alcohol levels of 0.20 and 0.24. The legal limit, by the way, is 0.08. So he was more than twice, maybe as much as three times beyond the legal limit. That's
nothing.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no.
Not much
more
needs to be said about that.
No. You see how that ends up happening when you're at that point. The MLB, Major League Baseball, suspended Yankees third baseman Josh Donaldson for one game for inappropriate comments that he made to Tim Anderson, the White Sox shortstop. He was also fined an undisclosed amount, appealing the punishment he is going to do. He admitted after Sunday's game to calling Anderson Jackie, a nod to Jackie Robinson in the first inning. Donaldson apologized, saying he meant no disrespect, but Anderson said Saturday that he was offended by the comment, calling it disrespectful and unnecessary. One game. Is that enough?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
usually people are outraged and they want 10 times the penalty, but you think penalty fits the crime?
It wasn't a physical altercation. I'm kind of surprised they did it. I'm surprised he got a suspension, but I think one game's enough.
All right. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are going to play golf against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen on TNT. Brady and Rodgers were on NBA's TNT's post game after the NBA playoff game last night. Shaq asked Brady if there would be any wagers with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Always. You got to stay focused. I know Charles had quite a few over the years, but whatever those young guys want to bet, I know I'm probably the lowest paid guy out there on the golf course this time around between those three heavy hitters. But whatever they want, I got action on those guys. And although I would say golf's not my number one sport, Aaron's got a way of bringing out the best of me, so I think we're ready to take on these young bucks.
Well, Tom, number one, if you're worried about being the lowest paid guy, why don't you just quit, retire again, and go to TV? I hear got some change coming your way.
All in due time. I think you guys are doing just fine yourself. Speaking of that, I love your guys' show. You know, I told Shaq when I had dinner with them a few weeks ago how great a show it is. The best camaraderie. I think everybody in television tries to emulate what you guys do. So keep it up. Hey, it's like a very dysfunctional Thanksgiving family dinner. You guys are doing really well.
Tom Brady, not the fastest player in the NFL, but he sure ran away from the contract talk quickly.
Yeah, he did.
4.35, 40. Speed there.
If you didn't see the post game, they were outside the arena. Mm-hmm. That's what you hear the fans chanting and everything in the background. But I think this misses what was the true story last night, and that is the fact that at 45, is Tom Brady 45?
Yes,
he has a brand new face.
His face is six.
It's 6 weeks.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that was fresh off the table. Are you kidding me? Was I the only one that looked at that and said, you saw Aaron Rodgers and you're like, oh, that's what a 39, 40-year-old man looks like. And it's like wrinkles and, you know, like, and then Tom Brady is like a mannequin. Like,
it's sometimes difficult to tell in a Zoom thing, but It did look like there's nothing on that face, but
I've heard people say, and listen, I don't care what he does, but yeah. I've heard people say, oh yeah, Tom Brady's had some work done, and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, wow, wow, like it was
that
like
he has.
You were sitting there watching it with me. It was the only thing I could comment on. I didn't hear a word he said. I'm like, look at his face. Look at Aaron Rodgers' face. He's 5 years younger. Now look at his face. How is that real? Answer, it's not. That's the answer. That's not a real face.
Maybe he's born with it.
No.
Maybe it's maybe.
That's my whole point.
Yeah.
That's not born with it.
I was going to the next
line. It's a constructed face.
Maybe it's construction.
It's a work in progress here. All right, let's take a break. We'll talk some football. Speaking of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, we won't talk golf. We'll talk football. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus is next here in the program. We talk some AFC West football, some Chiefs football with Sam Monson, our friend from Pro Football Focus, NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Find Joe Spiker's great team online at eastonroofing.com. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Multiple lenders. That's right. If you need to finance a new roof, they've got multiple lenders, not just one like most roofing companies, multiple lenders. That means you save money with Easton Roofing. Find them online right now at eastonroofing.com. Sam, welcome to the program. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How about you?
Doing very good. But wondering why you didn't give the Chiefs offseason grade, more than just a B+. How can you just, we're insulted that you don't have the Chiefs graded ahead of all the other AFC West teams. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. But it is pretty spectacular how well all of the AFC West did, is it not?
Yeah, the entire AFC West and really the AFC broadly was involved in this crazy offseason arms race, just adding talent, adding superstars, adding massive name players, big impact guys across the board. And really, Kansas City was the one team that kind of stood out as a team that went in the other direction. Zigged what everybody else zagged and actually went and traded away a real impact player and a guy that was sort of fitting the bill of the type of player that other teams were trying to acquire.
Is it possible that they had a great offseason, but they still back up the bus a couple of spots in the AFC West, but then make it up a couple of years now down the road? Obviously, when you're talking about giving up proven talent and then turning that into draft picks like they did with Tyreek Hill, is the reality that Chiefs fans still need to prepare for maybe this isn't another AFC West championship?
I think the Chiefs are in this position that the Patriots were in for 20 years. When you have Tom Brady as your quarterback or Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, you're going to be contending every year, right? You're good enough. And I think a big thing that New England was able to do so well for so long is just, get it on the fairway every year. Get yourself to the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, if you've got Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, anything can happen, right? And I think that's what Kansas City is now in the mode of, is that, yeah, we're not in the same position as other teams. We don't need to go all in for a 1 or 2 year run at a Super Bowl. We should be there for the next decade, for the length of this Patrick Mahomes contract. So all we need to do now is to juggle all of these pressures that come with having a highly paid quarterback. You've got to adjust your salary cap. You've got to figure out where you're putting the resources. And sometimes you've got to make some decisions that may take a step backwards and then try and make up that step everywhere else. So, yeah, maybe this won't be the best Kansas City team that we'll see during the Patrick Mahomes Andy Reid kind of era, but I don't think it's going to take a big step backwards either. They should be one of the contenders again, and then, as I said, once you're in the postseason, it just takes a few games and a little run to make it as far as the Super Bowl or beyond.
They didn't address, other than Karlaftis with the draft pick, the defensive end position. Jadeveon Clowney signed back with the Browns. I didn't think it was going to happen, but that was kind of my dream scenario, was to add Jadeveon Clowney into this mix as well. How concerned, their defensive line has kind of been an issue for a while. And, all they did was really bring back Derek Nnadi, restructure Frank Clark, and add Karlaftis. Is that enough when you're also losing Tyrann Mathieu, Charvarius Ward? I know they invested heavily in the draft in the corner and safety position, and hopefully they're going to hit with several of those guys. But, you know, to me, the way to offset that loss, because I Justin Reed on your PFF grades does not grade very well as a safety, you know, should there be more concern about the Chiefs' defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think Justin Reed will play better in this defense than he did in Houston, where the kind of defense, the talent around him disappeared, and he started to decline in terms of PFF grades. I think he's a better player than his recent grading would suggest. Really, the defensive line, you know, a lot of that is going to come down to what Carl Loftus does. And you know, the Chiefs draft as a whole was really interesting because it was like they had the PFF big board to hand, and that was how they were drafting. Pretty much every player that they drafted represents massive value relative to their position on the PFF big board. So obviously we love their draft, but it doesn't always work out that way, right? A lot of the times PFF, quote-unquote, misses on players because there's information we don't have, whether it's medical, whether it's attitude, whether it's you know, off-field, whatever it is. And you know, the league is passing on these guys for a reason. Now, I don't know if any of that is true for Carl Loftus. This was a guy I thought that had legitimate, you know, high-end first-round tape. His tape is every bit as good as a guy like Jermaine Johnson. It's every bit as good as a guy like Trayvon Walker, who's the number one overall pick. Okay, he's not the athletic freak that Trayvon Walker is, but his tape is superior. He's a better pass rusher right now. So if Carl Loftus comes in and, you know, can continue being a high-pressure kind of guy, and the player that he reminded me of as a when I was watching his tape was Brandon Graham from the Eagles. And Graham was an interesting comp because Graham's always been an underrated player in the NFL, despite weirdly being a first-round pick. Usually that's very hard to – it's very hard to be an underrated first-round pick, but he seemed to be. He struggled to kind of get a full-time role for a lot of his career, was moved between defensive end and outside linebacker. But whenever he was on the field, he was getting pressure. And maybe it didn't always translate to sacks, but he's always brought a ton of pressure and a ton of disruption. If Carl Loftus can do that, that goes a long way towards fixing that defensive line. But I think the biggest problem is, you know, until they can shed Frank Clark's contract, or until Frank Clark starts playing up to Frank Clark's contract, it's going to be a problem because you're just not going to dedicate that amount of resource to that one position group.
There's no reason to think that he's going to play up to his contract. Is there Frank Clark I'm talking about?
No, I mean, if he hasn't done it yet, I don't see a good reason why he's going to start doing it. But we have seen him play better than that, so there's always the possibility that it randomly comes back one day.
How likely is it that Patrick Mahomes has a bigger year throwing the football this year without Tyreek Hill than he had with him last year?
I think it's possible, but it wouldn't be a causation thing in my mind. It would be a case of the Chiefs discovering how better to play against those two high coverage looks that were such a problem for them throughout last season. And if they can figure out how to do that, whether or not they have Tyreek Hill in the lineup, I think they will be a better offense than they were last year. I think last year teams kind of sprung that on them, and collectively the NFL realized, including Kansas City, that it was causing them problems, and all of a sudden that became the blueprint. You know, usually when you hear that, oh, there's a blueprint to beat this team, it usually isn't, but it kind of was for Kansas City last year. That was a legitimate game plan to cause them all kinds of problems, and even defenses that weren't particularly good were able to employ it heavily and cause the Chiefs some real issues. So if they figured out the answer to that and figured out how to be patient or how to mitigate the kind of frustrations that was causing them, then I think they'll be better than last year simply by that, even without a Tyreek Hill.
Nobody ever offers up the idea that the problem with beating the cover two was Tyreek Hill. That, like, he's just not the kind of guy that you beat him with. I mean, would you offer any possibility that what they did was sit down and look? And obviously, listen, it may have had nothing to do with it. Maybe the perfect guy to beat the cover two, and they just didn't do it correctly. But that they sat down and said, you know what, small catch radius, got to scheme him completely wide open. You know, Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star columnist, was in here earlier and pointed out, and I hadn't realized this, but he pointed out that, you know, with less than roughly half the catches, Mecole Hardman had more yards after catch than Tyreek Hill did. Is it possible that Tyreek Hill was the problem?
I don't think it was the problem. I think the issue became that teams simply teams started doing a certain thing to take away the biggest threat that Tyreek Hill brings to the table, which is that deep speed, the capacity to score a 60-yard touchdown any given snap. You know, how do you stop that? You run a lot of too high coverage looks, and you basically take away the threat of that deep ball. And then Kansas City just didn't have the answer to that. They weren't able to figure out, well, okay, if they're taking away that, what is that opening up and what should we be leaning on more? And a team that was just so used to these explosive big plays almost couldn't force itself to be patient and take the underneath stuff. You know, when you look at some of the best quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady and the Patriots would take 5 yards every single play if that's what you were going to give them. Peyton Manning and the Colts or the Broncos, when he was there, he would take a 5-yard pass every single time if that's all you were going to give them. And they would play that all game. And they would pass the ball 50 times for those 5 yards and know that they were going to kill you with 1,000 paper cuts. I think the Chiefs want to do that, but everybody gets too frustrated with that. And eventually they try and be more aggressive and they force the ball into places that they shouldn't. The thing that made Tyreek Hill so good, or makes him so good as a receiver, is that he's more than just that deep threat. He's also got this combination of the deep speed with insane short area quickness as well. And that's a kind of combination that I don't know if we've seen that before. You know, Randy Moss had that kind of game-changing deep speed as well, the kind of speed that's just different from everybody else. But Randy Moss did not move in a phone booth the way that Tyreek Hill can move in a phone booth. Like, his short area quickness was not even in the same ballpark. So I think Tyreek Hill works against any defense, works in any route tree, works running any type of plays. And, you know, he's a short guy, so small catch radius, but I think he actually has a pretty big catch radius. He's got incredible sort of hops. He can go up and get the ball in contested situations. For a guy his size, his contested catch numbers throughout his career are crazy. He was league-leading in contested catches for a couple of years. So I'm not sure that explains it either. I think ultimately this is a failing of the Chiefs' offense, and maybe along the way they decided that, well, if teams have figured out how to take away, quote-unquote, Tyreek Hill, it's not worth paying the guy $30 million a year.
Is it, you mentioned that Tom Brady will take 5 yards when you give it to him. Is it Tom Brady or is it the Patriot coaching staff? When the Chiefs become frustrated and won't keep nickel and diming it against this cover two, is that Patrick Mahomes? That's where the blame is usually heaped, is on Patrick Mahomes. Or is it perhaps more Andy Reid not giving him enough options in that shorter range?
No, I think they had the options. And when you looked at some games last year, so the Giants game, for example, you know, they marched straight down the field the first time they had the ball, and they were being patient. They were taking the short plays. They got to the red zone, and they made sort of one, there was one big mistake, and it was almost like, oh, here it is again. And we've made the error, and now it's back to panicking. And they kind of went away from just being patient. It was like the Chiefs had kind of gotten in their own heads and were almost expecting the mistakes to come. You know, they almost bought into the narrative of, well, hey, if you force them to be patient, they can't. They're going to make mistakes, and they're going to make those errors and cause turnovers, and that's where the game disappears. So I think, you know, that kind of thing doesn't necessarily happen overnight, right? You can't force yourself to be patient year one when this happens. I think last year was just an example of, hey, look, somebody came up with a solution to the most dangerous thing that Kansas City offense presents to defenses, and the Chiefs weren't great at countering that. Now, look, they weren't terrible either. It's not like the offense became the worst offense in the NFL overnight or anything, but it was a problem relative to what we've seen the last couple of years. But I don't think that means it's necessarily a permanent problem, and we could easily see this offense just much better able to deal with that this season than they were last year.
Is running the ball one of the recipes that they need more of? I mean, that's often been, that was certainly one of the big criticisms of Andy Reid when he left Philadelphia. I think we all know that the idea of just running your way to a championship won't work. See the Baltimore Ravens. They prove it year after year after year. So I'm not suggesting that they just, you know, become the 1974 Steelers offense, right? But do they need to be more effective running the ball? And is that part of the reason why it became easy to defend them with the cover two?
Yeah, I think so. Look, nothing, you can't do anything in football without a trade-off. You know, there's no cheat code across the board. If you're going to start playing more too high coverages, you are sacrificing something else, and you're sacrificing a body in the box, which is the ability to play underneath coverage, which is the ability to defend the run quicker and better and with, you know, more bodies. And that ultimately is one of the biggest driving factors behind rushing success, simply how many guys are stacked in the box. And the lighter the box, the easier it is to run the ball and the more production you're going to have. So if teams are backing off and they're showing the Chiefs those two high looks all day long, one of the things that is doing is making it easier to run the ball, or making the carries that you have should average more and should be more productive. So I think Kansas City definitely pivoted away from the run game. Generally, they put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, which is absolutely the right thing to be doing. But if teams adjust to that and they are making the run game easier, then Kansas City should absolutely start exploiting that again and, you know, pick up the low-hanging fruit.
How much more can Patrick Mahomes be? Like, is there, how much, like, when is he the finished product and we've seen everything that he can do?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two parts of that. There's one argument that says, look, the difference between Patrick Mahomes right now and, you know, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or whoever you want to put in that greatest of all time conversation is simply longevity, right? Simply how long you do it for, and the understanding that there's going to be year-to-year fluctuation and these guys are going to go up and down a little bit, but broadly speaking, you just need to keep piling up the years. But then there's also that argument of saying that, hey, look, when Patrick Mahomes was playing at his best, we might never have seen anybody play like that. You know, maybe Aaron Rodgers at his very best has a similar combination of freakish arm talent, the ability to play outside of structure a bit, the athleticism enough to take off and make some plays and just make him almost impossible to contain. But yeah, Mahomes, I think, has a skill set and has a potential ceiling that is at the very minimum as high as any quarterback that's ever played the game, and possibly higher. So I don't know that we've seen the best of Patrick Mahomes, and it's entirely possible that there is more to come from his game. And anything that he adds on top of this, I think, really does just push him into a realm that hasn't been touched before.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player, but they put so much on his shoulders. It would be nice to see them, take a little bit off and be able to just, you know, pound away with the running game at times when they need to, and then maybe he wouldn't have to, you know, pull a rabbit out of his hat all the time during the course of a game. How we're talking right now to Sam Monson, who does a great job, NFL analyst for PFF.com. How much, you know, do you buy this, the power rankings that put the Chargers in front of the Chiefs, that they've actually now surpassed them?
No, not really. I mean, you can see why, right? Those kinds of off seasons get people excited, but ultimately, when you're adding that many pieces to a team, there's going to be an adjustment period. There's going to be some time where it takes to gel. And, you know, I kind of subscribe to the theory of, you know, if you want to be the champ, you've got to beat the champ. And when it comes to power rankings and that kind of thing, we know the Chiefs are going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. They have been every year since Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were a duo at the top of this thing. So if you want to come from the same division and say you're better, you know, Denver or the Chargers, I think you're going to have to show it on the field.
Who's the best coach not named Andy Reid in the AFC West?
Well, I think obviously we don't know about Nathaniel Hackett yet. I don't think we really know about Josh McDaniels yet. So it probably has to be Brandon Staley at that point.
I mean, that's winning by default, by its very definition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right there, right? I mean, like, we know something about Josh McDaniels, don't we? I mean, it failed miserably in Denver. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but that was a decade ago. I mean, that's the thing. The Josh McDaniels experiment the second time around is going to be fascinating, because He was a head coach again a decade ago in Denver. It was a complete catastrophe. And by that I mean, if you were taking over a team and asking yourself how to most quickly run this thing over a cliff, you might not do anything different to what Josh McDaniels did in Denver. I mean, that was not a bad team. And he drafted Tim Tebow, traded away their number one receiver. Like, this was an absolute train wreck. And then he kind of goes back and licks his wounds for 10 years. in New England and kind of bides his time, waits for the perfect opportunity, and now he's the Raiders head coach, you know, presumably with an absolute focus on ensuring that he doesn't repeat the same mistakes as last time. So I think generally McDaniels is going to be a really interesting character to watch over the first year and see, you know, how he goes about this. And I think certainly not having the level of control he had in Denver this time around is probably an important part of that.
Two things I object to. Number one, his third opportunity. He did take the Colts job. So let's do – I mean, that is part of his hot messness, is that he took a job and then bailed on it. And to which I can't even give him credit for, like, if you're like, well, yeah, he had Chris Ballard, the smart personnel guy, but who really wants to work for that owner? Well, he took the Raider job and Mark Davis, and they're firing presidents and – you know, I mean, like how much was this like the perfect job as opposed to the only job that would offer him?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. It's a good point that if you're going to back away from the Indianapolis job because of the owner, the Raiders is a curious team to take as your next opportunity. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're right. Maybe we reached a point where he had kind of poisoned the well with the way he reneged on that Indianapolis job, and it was a case of now or never for McDaniels. And at that point, you got to take what you got to take.
We're talking to Sam Monson here. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Royals. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I will start you with this. Four quick ones. Tell me the first thing that pops in your mind. Give me the Chiefs' record this year. What do you figure? And you can change your mind after a preseason and whatnot. But right now, what are you feeling after 17 games? They're what?
I'll give him 12 wins.
Okay, 12-5. Tyreek Hill's numbers, and again, you can change this too on down the road, not trying to pin you down on this, but his numbers will be what? Catches, yards, touchdowns?
I think he's going to catch 100 passes in Miami. I think he will end up with, you know, a sort of, what, 1,500 receiving yards and probably threatening double-digit touchdowns. So kind of top 3, 4, 5 type of receiver season.
Okay. Threatening, I'm going to put you down as 9 touchdowns on that. 1,509. And I'll have Jalen Waddle's agent call you with his complaints here in a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Will Josh McDaniels be a success with the Raiders, yes or no? We'll label success ultimately getting a second contract.
Second contract with the Raiders. No.
Okay, that goes down in flames. All right, and finally, and most importantly, will you watch the match? Aaron Rodgers, the newly constructed Tom Brady face, against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Will you be taking this in whenever it's on TV? I don't even know what it is, but I know they were pushing it last night after the NBA game.
I might watch some of it, but honestly, it stopped. Like, when you lost Peyton Manning, you lost the funny from this thing. Like, Peyton Manning's genuinely hilarious. Like, that guy has legitimate comic timing. He's actually a funny person. And, you know, him and Chuck, they were able to make that whole thing the first time around. As soon as you kind of went away from that combination, like, the other NFL players might be interesting, but they're not as funny.
Don't you think Aaron Rodgers is funny? I mean, he doesn't intend to be, but he ends up being funny, don't you think?
Yeah, it's not the same, though.
No,
you know,
it's
when you're
not
watching a guy knowing that he's going to be cracking jokes and there's going to be some wit and fun in there, as opposed to just kind of waiting to see what something Aaron Rodgers is going to end up saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. Sam, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work there at PFF, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst, not taking any of the bait. Didn't know comment about the Tom Brady face. Aaron Rodgers funny. Just not going there.
Nope.
Not going to do it. Good. Now try it, Curtis.
I was just going to add, nope.
Nope.
You know, that's what I do. I just provide the period of the paragraph.
Yep, dynamite drop in. We'll take a break, wrap things up with the kicker next.
But first, the Jazz into the hour answer. How many pitchers have homered for the Royals in the DH era?
The answer, same as our first question. One, Zach Greinke in 2005.
He's the only one?
In the DH era. A fun note, the last two pitchers to do
I like to hear fun.
But the last two pitchers to do it before Greinke were Lance Clemens and Jim York, both in 1971. 2 months after that season ended, Clemens and York were sent to Houston for a young first baseman named John Mayberry.
That's worthwhile trade.
Ain't bad.
What are we playing for? Jazz?
Jazz.
Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. You can see the menu online right now at jazzkitchen.com. You know they cater all those graduation parties and everything that's been going on. They can cater that party for you, whatever you got going on, big family reunion, whatnot, the great Cajun food, but also a full menu of non-Cajun when it comes to the catering. But get out to Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen today, Independence, I-70 and 291, 39th and State Line by the Med Center. And, of course, The incredible Jazz out at the Legends. That's your Jazz, right?
Yes.
You jam the Legends
Love
location?
Legends.
Good to know. Good to know. All right, thanks to Sam Monson joining us in the last segment. 1,509 for Tyreek Hill.
I don't see it.
Him and Jalen Waddle? I mean...
With Tua throwing the ball?
Yeah. I think I'm smelling more like 75... 1,106,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I don't see the numbers being that big. Like, fantasy football-wise, I'm not going to be jumping on Tyreek Hill. Somebody else is going to be drafting him before me in drafts and spending more on him in auctions.